Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
Looking back when I smile to memories when snowflakes fall with mom and dad and I'm blessed. For what they've given me.
Alrighty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and I am happy to welcome back today Todd Duffy. How's it going, Todd?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Long time no talk.
You know? And where do the years go? Literally years, I think.
Yeah, how's things been for you?
Well, you know, making changes, doing new things with myself. The acting's been fun, but every once in a while you got to go find a new passion in life. So I've picked up photography. Yeah, it's an interesting little artistic jaunt I've been on. I've been throwing some stuff up on Instagram lately, and some friends of mine have encouraged me to make a book out of this stuff. And so I've tried to piecemeal a book together of all of the photography I've done, and then it's basically photography, and then there's just kind of like a comical little caption for each one.
That's very awesome. I've always liked taking pictures and being out in the country. There's always nice sunsets and fields and wild animals and crap to take pictures of. So, but I mean, being out in California, you guys have so much more experiences that you can document with film.
We are lucky out here. Yeah. We've got one season and it's called sunshine, and that's it. So if you're looking for a sunset or sunrise or anything in between, we've got that. If you're looking for rain at all or storms or anything called a season other than sunshine, you're not going to find it here.
Right. Yeah. We've had snow this week. It's rained a lot before that. So, I mean, but you guys have the horrible wildfires. Thankfully, we haven't had a fair share of fatalities from the weather. So you guys have been had it a little harder.
It's been and even further up north. I heard the other day an entire city burned down. So it's really tragic what's going on out there. And Malibu, a couple of friends know people who were out there and they said they've lost everything. So it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's horrible. It's very unfortunate. And, I guess starting off, I thought it was really cool to see that you went to the Booker T. Washington High School for Performing Arts.
My old alma mater, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if many people know that it started as the first high school for African American pupils way back in 1892.
It was. They still keep that history alive there. It's fantastic. I've been back several times. They've actually added on to the school recently, I think in the last 10 years, to make room for all of the arts that are going on there. It's a magnet school, but back in the day, they've still got the basic structure of the school that they built back in the 1800s there.
That's awesome. And just looking through the notable alumni, I mean, Ernie Banks is on here. Just a couple spaces down there is Todd Duffy.
There's that. We've got a lot of musicians that have come out of there, too, though. Erykah Badu went there. I believe Norah Jones went there. Edie Brickell went there. So it's got an amazing list of talent that's made it from that school.
So I guess what are your memories, and what did you learn from going to school there with all of the wonderful performing and the visual art classes and teachers?
You know, I didn't take full advantage of the school, unfortunately. I was busy doing television and film on the side back then, and so I didn't really get into the theater. I took more advantage of the technical theater there. So I learned a lot of lighting. I learned set design. I learned costume construction. I got a really well-rounded education through the entertainment industry that started there. But I didn't really use it for the acting, and I probably should have because there were some amazing performances that we put on there.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, no, I'd say annually they probably have at least 7 to 8 theatrical productions, stage productions going up.
Wow.
And that's just for the acting department. Then their music department does show. They've actually got road shows that they do. But I hear they also the musical center is right next door to the school, and I hear they go over there and do musical performances. The dance department is over there as well. And then their fine arts department is just amazing. The artists that come out of there, and I don't even know the names of the people that I went to school with there, but I know they're out in the world right now, and they're really high up in the art world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool that they can get all those out in 1 year, because I don't think people understand always what goes into any production, whether it be theater or film or television. It's a lot of work.
The teachers, the people who run those not only are they teaching classes, but then they're also directing plays, and the endless hours and the incredible energy that they put into each production. It's humbling to see how much these teachers do at that school.
That is very cool. It's why they're helping a lot of people out, getting to their respective dreams.
And that's at the end of the day, you need to get through high school, and that's what it's there to do. It's a high school first, and then, you know, instead of your home ec and football team and cheerleading team, we've got dancing and theater and music and fine arts.
You made a great point there, too, that, you know, it's great that I lost my train of thought. Don't you freaking love when that happens? You know, it's great when you have a brain fart and then you just lose all sense of control with anything. Well, if I remember, we'll come back to that.
All right. Sounds good.
But I noticed you, one of your first big debut breakthrough was in the film Across 5 Aprils, which was actually, you guys were awarded in the Cowboy Hall of Fame. That's got to be a pretty neat experience. What was all that like?
You know, I can tell you from a child's perspective, because I think I was in the 7th grade when we shot that, but it was awesome. It was the first time I had ever been on location. They shot it in Missouri. So they flew me out. My mom couldn't make it, so my grandmother came out with us, and she had been raised in that area back when she was in her early teens. And so it was kind of a nostalgic trip for her, and she wound up being the set, not medic, but there were a lot of ticks out there, and everyone was getting ticks. So she was the set tick picker. And it, you know, just to have my grandmother there, being able to be a part of the thing, I got to be a part of the thing, to be able to shoot that where they're, you know, we're on a set that Tina Hundreds. It was really interesting. And as a kid, you know, you're pretending anyway. I wouldn't say I was a professional actor. That's what I was doing. But in a child's mind, it's more like you're play acting, you know? And so I was just having a blast with all the horses and pretending like I was a farmer on a farm back in the 1800s. It was a lot of fun then. And then it became serious. And it won an award, and we got to go to get the award, and that was awesome. And then I've actually run into children who are now adults who said that they were taught American history, and they had to watch that in school. So it's actually taken on like a second and third life, which is it's really impressive.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I think we did that in, 86, I'd say, we shot that. And it's still being taught, or it's still being used in history classes today.
I mean, I don't think that anybody would not love to go back to, like, the 1800s or any time period. Everyone wants to time travel. I think it'd be really neat to get on a set and just kind of be in that whole Western kind of 1800s lore for the time of the shoot.
Exactly. It's an opportunity to be able to just forget that we live in a world of so much technology, and to realize, you know, in the morning you have to wake up before the sun comes up in order to feed everybody. You've then got to go out and do things that you can get done in 10 minutes in today's time, but back then it would have taken half the day, you know.
Right. That's another whole different thing to think about, is how much technology has changed in just even in 10 years, let alone in a long, long span of time. It's crazy.
Yep.
We talked the last time about Office Space, so I thought I would smock over that. Because I was curious about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You had a nice recurring, scary, creepy role as Murk on that. How did you get that role, and what was it like working on the show?
Yeah, I'll start first by talking about how it was working on the show. It was an absolute delight. By the time I got there, that the cast crew were a well-oiled machine. They were cranking out television. They'd been doing it for 11 seasons. I think I came in the 12th. So it was a pleasure. It was a joy, because you didn't have to think about anything. You just showed up, and they put you in the place they needed, and there you went. The makeup. It took 3 hours to get into makeup. It was a bunch of prosthetics, and it took probably easily 2 to 3 to get out of this stuff. So there were several nights where it was just me sleeping in my trailer because the turnaround, they had me needing to be back on the set in 3 hours, and it was just easier to nap in the car or in my trailer than to go home. But to get it, it was a great audition. I had fun with it, but it's one of those things where more and more actors are having to do a lot of things that are outside of the realm of normal, and they don't know it. And there are these things called casting workshops and seminars that I think they're now illegal. But back in the day when I did them, I would pay to audition for a casting director, in hopes that, you know, at some point they might remember me and call me in for an audition, because there are just so many actors that it's hard to remember everybody you've seen, as well as new people that you haven't seen, and giving opportunities to these people. And so I was doing workshops and seminars, and I had just been a massive fan of Buffy for so long that I wanted to get on that show. It was that and ER, and I got a chance to be on both of them. But it was through these workshops that I got a chance to meet the casting directors, and I saw them so many times that they told me, they said, Todd, we know who you are. We get it. We're going to get you on the show. It's just give us time to find the role for you. So I got an opportunity to be on both. I was very lucky.
Well, it seems like luck a lot of times in life is really on your side. You can just think you're done for in Hollywood, especially, and some big role comes around and, you know, you're saying.
Well, I mean, you look at, oh gosh, why am I, I'm blanking on his name, but the guy who was on the Cosby Show, who was found at a Starbucks, working at a Starbucks, and now he's being called up to be on several, in several movies and television shows because somebody tried to call him out on working at Starbucks. You're absolutely right. It's just, it's right place, right time in the dumbest of situations.
Right, and especially with the internet being as huge, especially YouTube and viral videos and the way stars are being made off of those videos, it just opens up a whole other landscape for the little person to become well-known.
Exactly. Well, and you know, you can't stifle that. That's the opportunity, the freedom to be able to make a name for yourself is the God-given right of every American. That's what we do. But when you wind up getting a resume, and I had a really good resume, and this was probably 10 years ago, and I sat down with a manager, a prospective manager who was thinking of taking me on, and he said, "So tell me, how many fans do you have online?" And I said, I don't know. I mean, I've got fans of the things I've been in." And he said, no. But I mean, do you connect with your fans? Do you culminate? Do you talk to them regularly to make sure that they're watching you doing whatever it is you're doing?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, I don't think I can work with you then, because you need to come in with your own fan base." And when I heard that, it just broke my heart, because it was like, I'm not here collecting fans. I'm here doing the acting. And I hope that they're fans of the work that I'm a part of, but I don't collect fans. It's weird.
Well, I'm sure some insane person has liked my show in the past, and to hear someone was my fan would be just insane. So I'm sure hearing that, I'm a huge fan, it's just, it's going to be perplexing to most people.
It's humbling, because they enjoyed what I did. They enjoyed what you did. And that's
right.
Why they come back and they listen time and time again, is because they connect with what it is that you're doing. I love that aspect of the thing. But when that becomes the business itself, that's where I have a problem with it, because I'm not an artist per se. I'm an entertainer, but I'm not a salesperson. And for me to have to sell the thing that I've already done in order to make sure that I've got enough people who think I should continue doing this thing, it's, you know, I can go do theater. I enjoy acting, but I don't enjoy there are multiple hats that we all have to wear in order to do the thing that we love. And I've just chosen which hats I'm going to wear. You know, like for you, you love doing your show, but there's also a lot of tedious work that goes along with that. And in order to make your show as good as it is, you've got to wear those other hats.
Right. I got to go to the day job and wash dishes and deliver pizzas so I can pay my internet bill and come home and do this crazy thing. So you're right.
Exactly.
You got to give and take, man. Give and take.
That's it.
But the last question I always like to ask is, what does the future hold for you? So there you go, Todd. I know you mentioned the book, and I'm sure you got some other fires in the kettle.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I realized I was actually listening to an interview the other night. One of the ladies from the hit Comedy Central show Broad City was saying that her career had pretty much petered out, and she couldn't get an audition to save her life, and so she started writing. And it was ironic that she said that, because that's what I've started doing. I as much as I love acting, it's just like no one's calling anymore. I'm pretty sure people are like, "Todd Duffy, who? Like, where has he gone to?" And that's fine. I'm all right with that, because I'm really enjoying the process of writing and of acting and of producing and learning about all of the different facets that go into this industry, so that I don't have to be just a one-hit wonder type. I'm only coming to the table with one awesome skill. Television shows that I've been pitching around. I'm also been getting into locations a friend of mine who works on some really big movie sets has opened the door to me for that. So I've been a part of some really big movies that are coming out in the next couple of years, and that's always entertaining, just to be on a set to see what happens on a set from a different perspective. Because as an actor, you're the last one in and the first one out, and you really don't get a chance to see what all goes into making a film or a television show happen. So it's really been a great opportunity for me to be able to fall back and to see different perspectives and to be able to engage in those, just so that I have a better opportunity to be a part of good things that are coming up. And then I've got the book. The book is called Roadkill. And then the subtitle is An Activity Book for Adults with Childlike Minds. And it's an interactive book that has the photos and then the comedic captions that I post. But then it's also an opportunity. I've noticed as people have seen my photos, they also want to add their own ideas to them. And so I figured what a great way to interact with people is to have this book that you can open up during the holidays or at parties or on game night or whatever. And it's I think it's an opportunity to bring people together. So I'm hoping with one of those irons in the fire that something will happen, or maybe three or four things will happen. Who knows?
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I think it's great that you're able to overcome not getting cast, as you put it, phone not ringing anymore, because I think a lot of people basically just give up when the calls stop coming or if they can't perform anymore in sports or what have you. I think they just kind of give up and turn to drugs or, you know, who knows what else. But I think it's pretty cool that you have found a way and different things to give back and just help get over that little slump.
Yeah. Life goes on, and each day is gives you a new opportunity. And if you're worried about not doing the thing you did yesterday, then you're going to miss what's available today.
That's a very good point. Well, thank you so much for coming back on, Todd, and I appreciate the getting the band back together jokes. You really made me laugh at that stuff. I appreciate you playing along.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. And I hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Good luck with the book, and take some more great pictures.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Talk to you later.
Have a good one. All righty, guys. Well, big thing. All righty. That was interesting. Excuse me. Big thanks to Todd Duffy for joining us today. Got fog on my throat. If you guys want to join us, you can go back in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. You can download the archived interview and listen to the whole thing, the whole shebang. And, of course, the one thing I'm really looking forward to is this weekend, my last convention for 2018, Dark History and Horror Con, November 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Garden Hotel in Urbana, Illinois, dhhcon.com or Dark History and Horror Con on Facebook. For more details, if you guys missed yesterday, we had back on Robert Lissardo, who's going to be joining us, and Ari Lehman from Friday the 13th, the original Jason Voorhees, he's going to be there, and all your favorites. So be sure and join us if you're in and around Urbana, Illinois, this weekend. And the next show we got, November 21st, actor, singer, voiceover artist, social media star Eric Schuett joining us. This guy is blowing up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's crazy. He has appeared in such works as Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Dolphin Tale 2, and Clarissa's World. And, of course, we are working to reschedule Sandy Helberg for Season 5, Episode 11 of The Hollywood Connection. I really miss Jane Park Smith. She's been out working on some films, projects, what have you. So it'll be really nice catching up with her when we get that rescheduled. All right, you guys, we'll see you. we will see you the 21st for Eric Schuett. Big thanks to Todd Duffy again. And, of course, for all of you for listening, as always, have a great night.